Friends, let us prepare to hear a word from God this morning. As we open up the scriptures, let us pray that the Holy Spirit will come upon us to open it up upon our hearts and minds. And so I invite you to join me in our prayer of illumination. The words are in your bulletin or on the screen. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew. For the next 3 weeks, we will be living in chapter 25. And I invite you to turn to chapter 25, verse 1. If you're using your pew Bible, you can turn to 1206, or you can follow along with the words on the screen. Hear now these words. Then the kingdom of heaven will be like this. 10 bridesmaids took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. When the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, all of them became drowsy and slept. But at midnight, there was a shout, "Look, here is the bridegroom. Come out to meet him." Then all those bridesmaids got up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise replied, "No, there will not be enough for you and for us. You had better go to the dealers and buy some for yourselves." And while they went to buy it, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him into the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the other bridesmaids came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Keep awake, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Let us pray. Gracious and holy God, have us here with fresh and open hearts, which you would have us here this day. Stir within us a desire to learn from your stories, to learn from your teachings, that we may grow in our faith and walk in the path you have laid before us. May these next few minutes encourage us and strengthen us and challenge us, that the Holy Spirit will move around and through and bind us together and help us grow more into that divine image with which we all bear. So may the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'm not going to sugarcoat this. This is a very hard scripture passage to live within. It's very hard when we hear scripture very specifically refer to some as wise and some as foolish, all to know that the door will be closed to those who are unprepared. I wrestled with this with my lectionary group on Monday. I have so many questions. 10 bridesmaids. Why were some wise and why were some foolish? Because some had oil and the others did not, but they all had their lamps. And why was the bridegroom late? What could possibly have held him up from going to the wedding banquet, to this festivities where everybody was waiting for him to arrive? And then when he did arrive, it was at midnight. Who's awake for a party at midnight? I don't know, and I have so many questions. And then when they, bridegroom came up, the gathered crowd was preparing to go. And then came this interaction between the bridesmaids, and they all had to trim their lamps because the light had grown dim and they needed to refill their lamps with oil in order to continue in the evening's banquet, wedding festivities. And some said, "Hey, can we have some of yours?" And they said, "No, go get your own. Go out and buy some at midnight. Go out and buy some oil at midnight." How many of you have tried to go to the grocery store at midnight and not found one open? Okay, so I had questions about that. And then they do, and they do leave, and they go, and then they finally get back. But the party has already begun. The doors have been closed, and they're knocking on the door. And the Lord says, "I do not know you." That wrecks me. Because it stands in direct contradiction to the very early teachings of Jesus in the very beginning. Remember that Sermon on the Mount where Jesus sat and he taught the crowd? And it says, "Knock, ask, seek, will I not open up to you to have you become aware of who I am and what I offer to you?" And here it's saying, I've locked the doors. I can't reconcile that in my mind, and particularly when I think about oil in lamps. And it casts this image of light and darkness. And so I know that when we were teaching some of the kids how to acolyte, it's kind of like the wizard behind the curtain when I showed them that it was this that came, in the candle. And they're like, What do you mean it's not a real candle? Because this is an oil base, right? It's got a wick and it's got the oil in it. And I imagine that the lamps would have been similar to, that they could have held. And this idea that it shouldn't take much to light. And there's a lot of light that can come from this one container. Some had some and some didn't. Some were willing to not share, unwilling to share, right? Because they were afraid of running out. And then they went on this journey to find more oil. Pastor Amy left her army guy on the table. So I'm going to put him right there next to the light. So I've wrestled with this text, and here's what I want to offer to you, because one of the things that if we read this passage for what it is, if we just read it at surface level, you already know all the questions I've already posed to you. And then I said, wait a minute, we need to understand this in a different context. First, we have to understand where this is coming in the whole arc of the Gospel of Matthew. The 25th chapter means that we are at the very end of the Gospel. And just before preceding this, in chapter 24, Jesus is foreshadowing the brutal death that he is going to have at the end of his life. So we know that Jesus is already preparing to leave the earth and to leave behind those who have been absorbing his teachings, preparing them for what is coming next. That it is not going to be an easy thing. It's going to be very difficult. And so we know, at least in the story of Matthew, that's where we are with this particular scripture. Another aspect to this is a parable. A form of teaching that Jesus often leaned into that wasn't easy to understand. We hear of all the parables that Jesus taught along the way, and even the ones who followed behind him closely, every day, every moment, his disciples, his chosen people, would on the side be like, "Hey, Jesus, what did you mean by that?" So even those who had been deep in Jesus' teaching and following Jesus had difficulty understanding sometimes the illustrations that Jesus used. And I don't think that's unlike what we are experiencing today. As I mentioned a little earlier, we're going to be spending the next 3 weeks in this chapter alone, two parables, and then the conclusion of the separation of those who will be part of the kingdom and those who will not. I'm giving you a heads up that that is coming. And why is it coming? Because we are also situated within the rhythm and life of the liturgical year as a church. What is the beginning of our church year? Do you know? Is it January? It's Advent. Advent, right? So did I not say earlier that we were going to be decorating and preparing our space for Advent on the 26th of November? Because the first Sunday of Advent is December 3rd, which means that the last day of the liturgical year is November 26th, which is 2 weeks from today. That day is also celebrated within the church as the reign of Christ, or Christ the King Sunday. It's our time as a church to basically recommit ourselves to understanding who Jesus is in our lives, that Jesus is the Lord of our lives, and we are committed to that. And so holding these three things together, let me remind you what they were. One, we're at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, right? We know that we're getting to the end of the narrative. Two, it's a parable, and they're not easy to understand. There are no simple interpretations of parables. And three, we're nearing the end of the church year. So holding all of those together, now let's dig back into this passage. So the oil in their lamps is not just a fuel to create light. The oil in their lamps is a representation of faithfulness. That it is this that we carry, and that they all had it, right? Because all 10 bridesmaids were there. They all had their lamps, but some had more oil and some didn't have enough. And the time that they had allocated or anticipated needing became much, much longer than they had thought, and maybe hadn't been adequately prepared. I can be generous and gracious in that interpretation. And so what is it about this story that can teach us about faithfulness? So we know faithfulness, as we relate to the bridesmaids and the bridegroom, is this relationship between Jesus and the church. Let me say that again. That marriage that we're talking about is the relationship between Jesus and the church. So if it's Jesus, and we can understand Jesus to be the Lord, then the bridesmaids are the people of the church. And if we think about that and the people in the life of the church, you know, we all are here, but the question is, do we feel like we're closer to God, have more oil in our lamps? Or maybe we feel farther away from God, where we don't feel that we have enough. Last night, I had the opportunity to travel to Rocky Mount to be with our youth and all of the youth that were there, 1,600 youth and adults that were gathered in Rocky Mount for Pilgrimage 2023. I had never been to Pilgrimage before, which is really surprising. It was very surprising to those people that I ran into that I've known along the way. And I cannot tell you what a gift it was for me. It seemed, and I was kind of putting the pieces together, that the theme for pilgrimage, so it seems, is light in the darkness and the faith that we are to help grow. Light in the darkness and the faith that we are fostering and helping to grow in our young people. For me, as Roxy gave her testimony, she shared some things with such courage and vulnerability in that crowd that I was almost brought to tears. Her honesty and the struggles that she has had in her own life and faith journey, and how today she feels so much connected to the Lord because of the people who surround her. And as much as that was a powerful moment for me, it moved into the end of the worship service, where we sang songs about the lighthouse and traveling in the stormy seas. And it's the light that guides us through the rocky shallows that we can find safe harbor. And sometimes when we don't feel that we have the light available because we're going through difficult times, like navigating those rocky, shallow waters, others are the light that sustains us. The light that is found within each and every one of you, which is found within community. And then I started to cry. Because the refrain of that song was, pour out your spirit. Pour out your spirit on me. And I had forgotten what it was like to be able to just worship. I had forgotten what it was like to simply be present. How empty my lamp felt, and I wasn't even aware of it. And how, by asking God to pour out the Holy Spirit, how it filled me to sustain me, to remember that in our darkest times and in these struggles that we have, when we don't know if we have enough or if we do and we're not okay with sharing because we're afraid to run out, or, you know, all of those things, that there is more than enough of God's light if we simply call out and say, pour out your spirit on me. So in light of that, and thinking about this text for us this day in this place, are there times, friends, when we don't know the path we need to take? When we don't know the choices we need to make? When we don't know where the resources are going to come that are going to sustain us in that path forward? Yeah. Are there times when we think we're traveling this alone, or feeling lonely or discouraged or caught up in our grief? I would say that I've probably touched on something for each and every one of you. So hear this word. You are not alone. You are not without what you need. And when you don't think you have it in you, I want you to look at all the people around you who will be that light for you. And we are all called to trust in that foundation, sustaining faith found in Christ. Because by our light, we will be known. Let your light shine in the world. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. Let your light shine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.